of the preacher, the man of God by the name of Jonah, and he'd been brought by the Lord about as low as you can go in life. He had refused to obey God's call to go and win souls and preach to the people in the great city of Nineveh. And instead, he went west when he should have gone east, and he went by sea instead of by land. And he did just opposite of what God wanted him to do. And then as he was going away from God, he fell asleep in the ship. And the ship just kept him going farther and farther away from the will of God. But while he slept and continued to run away, God caused a storm to come up on the Mediterranean. I was there in the Mediterranean. I know right where that was. I stayed in a big resort there when I went to Israel, right around where Jonah took off and went across the beautiful Mediterranean Sea, which turned into a very ugly, stormy sea. And life can turn ugly if you run away from God. Finally, Jonah was forced to wake up by the sailors. They were shouting at him, and he woke up out of sleep, and they were told the only way they could get out of the mess they were in was to throw him overboard. How would you like to have traveled with Jonah? Let me tell you, it's no fun traveling with a Jonah. If you have a Jonah in your house, if you have a Jonah in your car, if you have a Jonah in your life, it's going to be no fun to travel with that Jonah. If you are a Jonah, it's going to be no fun for people around you, I can assure you. And so Jonah was thrown off the boat. Wisely, the sailors did the right thing. Get the Jonah out of there. And they threw him overboard, and he went down, down, down to Davy Jones' locker, and he got swallowed up by a whale. You say, how could it be a whale? I thought it was a fish. Well, God classifies a whale as a fish. He doesn't follow modern biology. That's easy to solve. And the whale swam down into the depths of the sea, and now Jonah was as low as you can go, and he cried out to God. That's a wise thing to do when you messed up your life. When there's nowhere else to go, go to God. Sadly, that's what it takes sometime in your life to get you to go to God. God has to let you go as low as you can go. And there he cried out to God. And the thing we need to remember is that you can never run away from God. I can say you can run like Jonah, but you can't hide. You know, we got bunker-busting bombs in America, and they in Iran found out that those bunker-busting bombs will go hundreds and hundreds of yards under the ground before they blow up, and they blow up so much that it really takes a long time to try to dig out of that. And God is greater than a bunker-busting bomb. And Jonah was in a crisis, and his crisis caused him to call out to God. And I want to preach tonight on what he made, a statement that Jonah made when he was as low as you can go. And it's in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 8. And here's what Jonah said. And I first came in contact with this verse when I was in Bible college, and specifically in Dr. Wendell Kempton's class, Methodical Bible Study. He said these words, "He that observes lying vanities forsakes his own mercy." He that observes lying vanity, let me quote it word for word. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. And I want to preach to you tonight, if you observe lying vanities, you forsake your own mercies. And I want to say tonight that there could be some of you here that you're observing lying vanities and you're missing out on God's mercies that he wants to give you. And you say, well, Pastor, what are lying vanities? It refers to anything that you do in order to replace God in your life and the will of God in your life. Anything that you're involved with that takes the place of God in your life, His rightful place, and His will for your life, anything that you put in there that replaces that is a lying vanity. And a lot of God's people can get into these things. And when you get into lying vanities, the Bible says here, you forsake your own mercies. You say, well, what are you talking about, your own mercies? Well, didn't it say in the Bible that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning? Great is His faithfulness. Isn't that what we're to expect? Every day, God has a new mercy for that day. He has special mercies for each hour, as we just sang about in Day by Day. Special mercies for each hour. What are these mercies that you forsake when you observe anything or anyone that replaces God and His will? You forsake His favors, His benefits, His provisions, His protections that He gives to those of you that wait upon Him, walk with Him, work with Him day by day in your life. And that's what it says in Philippians 4:19. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, needs are very meager. If you have food, clothing, God says that's meeting the need. But God gives you a lot more than your needs. We went out to Shady Maple Smorgasbord, and I had four different kinds of desserts. I had a pecan pie, some kind of chocolate eclair, some kind of chocolate, this and chocolate. I'm a chocoholic. My whole plate was filled with it. And I looked at that chew-fi pie, and I thought, Brother Joel will get that. But that's not a need. All that food is not a need, but God blesses. He does it according to His riches in glory. In other words, He's so generous, He's so gracious, He's so merciful, He's so good that He only promised you your needs, but so often He overflows with mercies that are wonderful. And that's why it is such a sad thing when you're such a sad sack, when you observe these lying vanities that replace God and God's will for your life, and when you're doing that, they're nothing compared to God, and you're forsaking wonderful blessings that He wants to give you. And it hurts me when I see believers doing it, and I see it happen all the time. And in my own life, when I do it, I think, how foolish, how foolish. The Bible says here that Jonah, here's what it says about Jonah as he was in that boat. I'm sorry, not Jonah. I'm thinking of somebody else now. Jonah was sleeping, amen. Here's another guy that was sleeping. Here's another guy that observed lying vanities and replaced God in His will and kept doing it and doing it, and God let him get away with it, and God kept showing him mercy anyway. You know the guy's name. His name was Samson. And the Bible says, and he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself and wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Boy, what a sad thing that is. God had given him mercies in spite of the fact he was observing lying vanities. He was putting Philistine women in the place of God and the will of God for his life. Even though God was using that, he was doing something sinful and wrong, and he was not keeping his Nazarite vow of separation. And God kept empowering him and kept blessing him and kept being with him when he needed it. You know, there are some people you just think you can turn God on and off. You can't do that. He's not a genie. And it comes to the point where, like Samson, you wist not. That means you don't know that the Lord is departed from you. The power of God is departed from you, and the blessing of God is departed from you. Because God can withdraw himself from you. Had not Jonah withdrawn himself from the Lord? You withdraw yourself from him and his walk and his word and your life, and you replace him. You, listen to me, you replace him with something else. You say, why? Because you're an idolater by heart. That's our old flesh. We got to have something to replace God. But God says that thing is like a bubble that you put up out of a bubble with the bubble maker, and it goes up and pops. It's just a vanity. It's empty. Whether it's video games or whatever it is in your life, it is a vanity. And so if you observe lying vanities, you forsake your own mercy. And that's my introduction. Let me give you three things about that tonight. You observe lying vanities and you forsake your own mercy, number one, by your lying. By your lying. I remember in our church, we had a number of believers, and they were in our church, and I was preaching about being separated unto the Lord. Samson failed to separate himself unto the Lord like God had commanded him. He would touch dead bodies, and Jews weren't supposed to do that. He would do things that he knew he shouldn't do. Eventually got his hair cut, which under a Nazarite vow, he was not supposed to do that. That was for the Jew, not for us. We're supposed to cut our hair. But I'm saying to you, he violated his vow of separation, and God had to deal with him. And when you observe these things, you forsake your own mercy. And how do you observe these things? By following lies. I remember a group of people in our church that they testified during the time that we were going through the trials we were going through, and I was preaching, and I kept holding up the standard of God's word and kept preaching it. And they would say to me, "We're not going to support that kind of preaching." And then they left the church, a number of them. And I realized, hey, I'm just doing what God wants me to do. I can't change my preaching for you. I didn't want you to leave, but I can't change my preaching for you because I'm accountable to God. They left the church. And they said, they testified, this group of people, they testified, they said, "Oh, we're having peace. It's just so peaceful now. Oh, things are going so well for us now." Well, let me just tell you, that didn't last. I think when Jonah pulled out, he went to sleep, and he was so peaceful, but that didn't last. I remember a deacon out of the will of God went to sleep, and while he slept, his wife woke him up, and when she woke him up, she said, "I smell something downstairs," and he went down, opened the door, the oxygen hit it, and his whole home was on fire, and then the whole block had fire trucks around it, and they lost their home for months as they had to live in a hotel. I'm telling you, lying. You observe these things that replace God and the will of God because you're listening to a lie. You're going by your feelings and not the word of God. Same thing happened in the book of Acts. The apostle Paul was on a ship, and he is an apostle. That meant he had special revelation from God, and he was able to give the word of God to the centurion that was over the prisoners. And he said, "We need to stay here in the Fair Havens. We don't need Fair Haven, you know, stay there. Don't go out. Don't go out and travel." Well, the owner of the ship said, "No, we need to go." Well, what do you think was motivating the owner of the ship to push them to go? Money. Greed. What was motivating the Apostle Paul? The will of God. You go to the man of God who gives you the word of God, and you stay with that. Don't observe lying down. "Well, if I do that, I'll get what I want." No, you won't, my friend. Not if you're a child of God. You think things are going well, and here's what it says in Acts 27, verses 13 through 15. They didn't listen to the great apostle Paul. Later on, he said, "You should have listened to me." You ever hear a preacher say that? "You should have listened to me." Well, here's what he said. Here's what happened when they didn't listen to him. It says, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon." Euroclydon. "And when the ship was caught and could not bear into the wind, we let her drive." I've seen this happen in my pastoral ministry over and over. over and over and over again, whether it's counsel from the pulpit or personal counsel. A person will go against the counsel of the man of God, preaching the Word of God, counseling with the Word of God, and they think they've obtained their purpose. Oh, we've got peace. Oh, it's going so well. Oh, Pastor, you're so antiquated. Oh, this and oh, that. And then, boom, all hell breaks loose. Just like it's going to happen in Iran. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. You can mark it down, whether Donald Trump wants it or not, it's going to happen. I'm just saying, if you observe lying vanities, you forsake your own mercies, your provisions, your blessings, your protections that God has for you. Why? By your lying, by your listening to lies and not listening to God, and you will find out that wind is vain. The Bible says, "They that sow to the wind shall reap the whirlwind." You sow to the wind. The Bible says the wise man will not observe the winds and he'll sow. But the fool will say, there's a lion in the street. I can't go to soul winning tomorrow night. And that fool won't show up when they're committed to show up. I'm just saying to you, too many people go by the weather, and the weather will lead you astray. You'll listen to lies, and you will get in trouble. Listen, what does it say? They had that south wind. It looked like they'd obtained their purpose, but they should have known we're going against the counsel of the man of God. But no, it all looks good. But then they were caught. There comes a time that you're often reproved and you keep stiffening your neck. You're going to get caught in a net. And you're going to have to live in that thing until God brings you out of it. Babylonian captivity, caught 70 years. Caught. They that observe lying vanities, that's what replaces God and His will for your life. You're going to get caught by the Eurocladins that are out there that God would mercifully help you to avoid if you listen to that still small voice. If you listen to that counsel that comes to you, and don't be so bullheaded. Some of the strong personalities get in trouble with that. You're bullheaded. You got a strong personality and you bullhead in your way. Well, you're going to bullhead your way right into God. He's a little stronger than you are. And I am. He's stronger. He that the Bible says that God resisteth the proud. You know what that word resist means there in the original language as we translate it from the Textus Receptus? It means he stands in military opposition to the prideful. He that resisteth the proud, God resisteth the proud. But who does he give grace to? The humble. Oh, Lord, I messed up. I'm coming to the altar. Preacher's got my number tonight. I've been observing lies. And I don't want to fight you anymore. I want to fight you anymore. And that's what we're talking about. If you observe lying vanities, you forsake your own mercy by your observing lying. And you'll find out when that happens that your sin will find you out. I don't care how strong you are, Achan, your sin will find you out. I don't care how well you hide your sin, Ananias, your sin will find you out. I don't even care, David, man after God's own heart, hardened his heart for a year and tried to cover up what he did with beautiful Bathsheba by getting her husband to get drunk and doing everything he could do and finally murdering her husband. But your sin will find you out. And you'll pay. David, you'll pay. You'll suck sorrow. You'll pay. And you'll pay. And I'm just saying that you can run, but you can't hide. I remember preaching down in Scranton at a I was street preaching down in Scranton, down in Courthouse Square. I was preaching the gospel down there. It was a message of judgment and calling people to Christ. And I remember there was a Presbyterian pastor that went by me. You know what the Bible says about the Presbyterians? The dead in Christ shall rise first, right? And he was running, trying to get away from this crazy preacher out there downtown Scranton. And I just saw him and I said, "You can run, but you can't hide." You know, that's true of God. The Bible says that preppers are going to try to hide. They're going to go down underground where they have their billionaire vaults and all this when the day of the Lord comes. And they're going to find out God's got bunker busters greater than Raising Cain and CENTCOM. And he's got it for us. Don't try to hide. He that confesses and forsakes his sin shall find mercy. But Jonah was not there, my friends. He was observing lying. He was feeding himself lies. Somehow he could get away, and somehow he could believe that he could run from God. Now, he could run, but he can't hide. Number two, if you observe lying vanities in your life, you forsake your own mercies, your provisions, your blessings, your protections that God has for you. Oh, yes, so many good things. Listen, I love the goodness of God. And just, it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. But if you're observing lying vanities, you're going to cut yourself off from that. You're not going to experience a lot of it. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. You've got a lot given to you here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church, in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And when you are cast away to the doctrines taught here, you're forsaking your own mercies that God wants to give you. By your lying and observing lying. By number two, by your leaving. Notice what it says in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." You know, when you're running away and leaving the will of God, you're running away from God and his presence, or at least you're trying to. It says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish." If you're running away from God, you don't want the man of God to be counseling you. It's the last person you want to run into. But Jonah, he was the man of God, and he's running. The man of God was running. And it says, "And went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish." Tarshish would go west, farther west. God told him, go east to Assyria. He went west toward Spain, toward England. That's where modern-day Tarshish is. From the presence of the Lord. When you may believe in these lies, it will lead you to leave the will of God for your life. And you'll make excuses why you're not there. I've said it many times, an excuse is a skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. We had a guy that came to our church, came with his wife, came with his family, and then he just decided he wanted to be the number one man, and so he became his own pastor, and he had church in his garage every week. And his poor wife and his family were bored to tears because he wasn't God called, and that was not church. It was just him on a head trip. And it didn't go well. Why? He was leaving a place where God had blessings for him and provisions for him. But he wanted to observe a lying vanity that thought he was number one. How stupid, how foolish can you get? I know another man that was in this church. He loved me, loved this church. God did a great work in his life, did a work in his family. He told me one time, he said, "Pastor, I tried to go everywhere." He said, "There's no church like this one." Well, certainly not for him, because he was meant to be here. And he tried to go everywhere. He said, "I found out I shouldn't be running around to different churches. Amen. I should stay right here." But he observed lying vanities, and he left. lying, leaving the will of God for your life. I'm thinking of another guy. He got involved in leaving because he got on the internet and he said, I've researched certain things and I'm smarter than the pastor. He got on the internet and listened to some hyper-dispensationalist. And he left. And he went from this situation to that. Then he suddenly anointed himself. He was a pastor. And then the last I heard, he was going to another garage church with the guy that was a garage pastor of his garage church. He and his family, it kind of went down. And the guy, around Christmas time, didn't show up for a service. And the garage, quote-unquote, pastor, it was no pastor, he texted his wife and said, this guy isn't here. He didn't show up. He's not faithful. Well, he meant to just get it to his wife, but it went to this guy that left our church, and he was highly offended, and that he left the garage church. What am I saying? I'm saying he that observes lying vanities forsakes all the blessings that God has. And this man forsook the blessings by believing a lie about himself, that he could anoint himself and raise himself up. Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You don't raise yourself up, Absalom. God raises you up. God can put you down. He observed the lie, and he left. Lying and leaving go together. And Jonah believed lies, and he left. And what a sad thing that was. I've told you, if you've been here any length of time, I never forgot this, but I got to be friends with Dr. Jack Hiles, got to know me on a first-name basis, know my kids, and what a blessing that was. And I remember him saying that he was in a church as a pastor, and I believe it was at First Baptist Hammond. He said this good-looking young couple came in, nicely dressed, the husband and the wife. And he thought, what a fine-looking young couple this is. And they joined the church and got involved, and pretty soon they were there. They didn't leave. They stayed right there, like you should, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, 3 to Thrive. They were there. You know, the devil doesn't want you to be here. Amen. And they were doing well. They were getting mercies every day. What a blessing. But see, the devil doesn't like that. And pretty soon, he said, you'd see him on a Wednesday night. They'd be there, and then they'd miss a Wednesday. Then they'd be there, then miss two, and then be there one, and miss three, and be there one. And pretty soon, Wednesday was gone. Then he said, you look around Sunday night. They were there. Then they'd miss, and then they came back, and then they were missing twice. And then pretty soon, it was half and half, and then one out of three, and then nothing. They're gone. And then pretty soon, Sunday morning, they're gone. That went on for a number of years, and Brother Hiles got a letter in his mailbox, and he opened the letter up, and he said, Brother Hiles, he said, I'm writing to you from the penitentiary. I'm in for a life sentence. He said, I shot my wife and the football coach. We got involved in football for our kids. And we started missing church. And she got involved with a football coach. He said, I caught him in the back seat of the car. And I shot them both to death. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. Here was a believer. Wife dead. Kids without parents. Teenagers. And he's in for a life sentence. You know, someone has said the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, but you got to mow the grass once you get over there. And you got to realize that it doesn't work out there. People say, oh, I'm going to get a divorce and get somebody else. If you harden your heart and you get a divorce willfully, not thrust on you, get it willfully, that second marriage is worse than the first as far as divorce rate. And the third is even worse yet. He that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. That is not by leaving. Don't leave. Don't believe lies, you see. Stay with it. And I'm so glad that the devil many times would lie to me to try to get me to leave, and I didn't listen to his lies. I didn't leave. I stayed. And thank God when you see people that you've ministered to and they're still here because you've stayed. And I've got people that have children and grandchildren and even great-grandchildren where I ministered to the great, the great-grandma, and now I see God doing a work in their life. You see, if you don't leave the will of God, he's got these blessings for you. But you've got to wait on him to see it. You've got to stay with him. And if you observe lying vanities, you're going to not see it because you're leaving or you're listening to the lying that goes on. And I'm just saying, I remember when I had the first faction that left, I stayed. And God blessed after that. I had the second fact, and God blessed. And we're having some of the most blessed time now in people's lives ever. And in young people's lives. We got young people getting ready to go to college, serve the Lord. Didn't have that, but we stuck with it. Didn't leave, but stayed with it. I remember Brother Snyder was up here, and he went through a real hard time in his church, and a lot of people he led to the Lord, they just left the church. They tried to come here, and I preached, and they got out of here. And then they went up to another church. They accepted him in, and Brother Snyder and his wife just cried and cried and cried day after day for what they went through. And he talked to me about it, and I said, don't leave. He was thinking about going to Florida with his adult children that had graduated from Bible college and were married, and he was going to go down there. I said, no, you stay right here in Carbondale, Pennsylvania. I said, you stay here. I asked him a while back how he's doing. I'm doing good. I'm glad I stayed. I'm just saying, listen to me. The devil is working through people to get you to leave. He'll use lies to get you to leave the will of God and replace the will of God. He'll use things in your life. Like the next thing, and the last thing I want to mention to you tonight, if you observe lying vanities, you forsake your own mercy by listening to lying, by leaving, and number three, by lusting. Lusting. You see, I believe Jonah did not want to do the will of God because he was bitter and he didn't want to work with those people. You know, a lot of people, they fall into bitterness. And that bitterness, and you say, well, how does that get into lusting? Lusting is just a strong desire that goes against God's desire. And you want vengeance, or you want to get somebody, and you want to get them so bad that you will leave the will of God. And that's what Jonah did. He wanted to get these people. They were mean to him. They were mean. And God said, reach them. He said, if I reach them, they may get saved. They may repent. I don't want them to be blessed. I want to get them. He was lusting for that. And then once he did that, he got out of the saddle and he said, now I'm lusting for leisure. Not only lusting for vengeance, but lusting for leisure. I have a strong desire just to have leisure. You know, I have my mother living with me. That's not leisure. It's a lot of work. But not so much for me, but for the ladies in my home. But it's work. And you know, my mom wanted to go home for 2 weeks because we're selling the house in May. And we said, okay, we'll help you get home. We'd already got her home, but she wanted to do it one more time. So we said, okay. So we got the plane flight, but it had to go from Newark Airport. Don't go to Newark. It's a horrible place. I hate that place. Newark Airport, Friday night. We went driving down there. We got about halfway there. My daughter got a hold of me. She said that flight's been canceled or postponed 12 hours. Might well be canceled for Grandma. And so I thought, oh, my. So we got about halfway there. And then we just said, that's it. That's it. We're not gonna go any farther. We're gonna turn back, and we had to go back home. That was Friday night. That's usually our date night. Shot to pieces. Saturday we had a full day bus ministry, great day Sunday in church, but usually Monday I have to refill, but nope, we got to go back to Newark on Monday. So we got to Newark on Monday, and we went there and drove, and we got to a parking garage there where we were directed to. I had to pay the money to get in there. Oh, what a time. Got in that parking garage, and the elevator stuck with my 95-year-old mother. We couldn't get up and down the elevator. I called the people. They said, oh, we're sending a technician. He never showed up. Couldn't find anything in that place. I thought, this is unbelievable. What am I doing in this airport? Newark. And then we finally got out of there, and we made it to the airport. I told my wife, I don't want to park. I said, I'm going to drop you guys off, and then I'll park right here, and I'll go in. But I said, no more parking garages for me. She went in and helped my mom and got her to a guy that was going to help out. We were not allowed to go through security and all this, but my daughter had already bought the ticket. She had everything she needed. Everything is set. That's wonderful. And the guy said, I'll take good care of her, and we were going to tip him, and all that was provided. And we got in our car to drive back because, see, we had to leave at 7 a.m. the next morning for the school trip. And we're driving back from Newark, and I'm getting on that highway, finally got out of that horrible place. And I get a call from Maurice. He says, I think we're having problems getting your mom on the plane. What's the problem? Well, there's something called, what's it called? Real ID. And she doesn't have real ID. She's 95 years old. She's been traveling, had her driver's license. Oh, but she doesn't have a real ID. So I said, see if you can get it filled out. I don't like real ID. I don't have it and don't intend to get it. I think you can get around it if you have a birth certificate and a driver's license. But get around it, yeah. You can pay to get around it. Yeah, I'd encourage you, because just like CBDC, it's all part of this one world we're getting into. But anyway, at that point, I didn't know what to do. The guy said, you're going to have to come and get her. So we had to turn around, go back and get her, bring her home. And I'm just saying that she wanted to do that. I can understand she wanted to see her house one more time. I can certainly understand that. But it wasn't going to happen. God was stopping it. Friday night, Saturday, I'm to the point now where I say, I can't grant that request. I just don't trust it. I'm just saying, you can lust for leisure, and I'm sure Jonah, when he got out of the saddle, he lusted for leisure, and he wanted to relax and take it easy, and he went to sleep. But my friend, you're not going to have leisure if you're observing a lying vanity, if you're trying to do something, God's not in it. And we need to realize we need to do what God wants us to do. You can lust for leisure. You can lust for revenge. You can lust for lucre. 1 Timothy 3:3 and 8 and Titus 1:7 says, not guilty of filthy lucre, 3:3, 1 Timothy. Not guilty of filthy lucre, 1 Timothy 3:8. Not guilty of filthy lucre, Titus 1:7. You say, Pastor, what is lucre? It's money. The Bible says that money is the root of all evil. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right?
The love of money.
Tricked you. Tricked you, Ben. The love of money. It's not money. Money's just a tool. And you can use it, but filthy lucre is money when you are greedy of it, and it is a vanity. It takes place of a god in your life. You have a lust for money that It's too much. There's some people, they will to be rich. Napoleon Hill, think and grow rich. They use that and they get their mind so that they can get money. I submit to you, that's their God. Now, I found out God can bless you with money, but it's not that way. It's when you're faithful to God over time, not get rich quick. It's being faithful with the tithes and offerings. It's being faithful with the stewardship to pay bills and all these things. And there are people, they lust for lucre, and it becomes filthy lucre, and it gets them out of the will of God for their life. And they begin to miss church services. Why? Because of some employer, some job that's paying them money. God's got a lot more money than that employer. That's a lying vanity. You're forsaking the most valuable things in life. And I'm not going to prostitute myself for money. I'm not doing it. And so tonight we're talking about that. And here's a big one today, the lust for moral impurity. The Bible says, having eyes full of adultery. The Bible says, flee fornication. And literally, Joseph was a good-looking, well-built young man, and he had a woman that was trying to get him into fornication, and he literally was ambushed. She had all the workers out of that house, knowing he would be there. They're normally there, but she had them all out. She planned to ambush him. She did ambush him. Thank God he ran out of there and got out of there. Flee fornication. I think Brother Hiles, he said, and I've told you this before, that when we went on a trip, we went to Texas, and we went to Dealey Plaza, where Kennedy was assassinated. And we were in Dealey Plaza, and Brother Hiles was there with the preachers that were there with him for this particular trip. And he said, this right here where we are, Dealey Plaza, he said, is where I was in high school, my senior year, and I was in a public school, and they invited me to go out with this girl, and everybody had a date. I didn't have a date, but they set me up with this girl who was immoral, and they got to a place where they parked, and you know what goes together with lust and fornication? It's liquor, alcohol, drugs, alcohol. And their plan was everybody took a drink, and they took the first guy took a drink, gave it to his girlfriend. She took a drink, hard liquor, gave it to the next guy and his girl. They took drinks. Next guy, Brother Hiles was the last one. His girl took the drink, and they gave it to him, and he started to move it toward his lips, and he goes, "Now take me home." And they started mocking him, calling him names, little Lord Fauntleroy. He said to the preachers, he said, if I would have taken that drink, I would have gone into drunkenness and fornication. And he said, there goes pastor school, gone. God would have taken it away. There goes youth conference, gone. And I knew exactly what he was saying. You say, well, where's that in the Bible? How about the oldest son of Jacob, Reuben? He lusted for a young lady that was one of the secondary wives of his father, and he committed fornication, adultery by fornication. And he said later on, when he was going to get the blessing of being the firstborn and he would have the birthright, he said, Reuben, you're unstable as water. The birthright went to Joseph, the son of Rachel, and was taken away from the oldest son of Leah. Brother Hiles was saying, God would have taken that away from me. I'm just saying, don't get into the lust of moral impurity. I remember a young guy, he looked one time on his cell phone at a porno picture. And by the time I got to him, he was totally hooked into it at about 19 years of age, 4 years, addicted to it. It can happen that quick. And I met others, young men, it happened that quick. I'm just saying tonight, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies, could have a happy home, a happy wife, and a happy life. Happy life, happy wife, you know. But they forsook it for moral lust, for moral impurity, or for lucre, money, or for liquor, leisure. I'm just saying, if you observe lying vanities, you forsake your own mercy by following lying, by following leaving, and by following lusting. Because your lusts are deceitful and they'll take you away from God. You say, what enables me to say no to my lust? Faith. The Word of God. Because somebody will pressure you. Come, get away from church. Get away from the preaching. I've got something more important. No, they don't. No, they don't. They're lying to you. And the devil is behind it. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight. We've been talking about they that observe lying.